Bold moves for a very old economic problem.
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Mark Garrison in for Jeremy Hobson with the global perspective on business and economics. Japan is fed up with deflation and a sluggish economy. Its central bank is getting aggressive. Today, markets are It launched a program to do a sweeping bond program to pump money into the economy. Traders seem to like what they see so far. BBC Tokyo correspondent Rupert Wingfield Hayes joins us. Hello, Rupert.
Hello, Mark.
So put all this in context. Just how strong of a move is this?
Well, it's certainly seen as being a radical shift for what was considered to be a very conservative central bank. The Bank of Japan has been very reluctant to carry out aggressive monetary easing up until now, although many have recommended that it should. Now it has a new governor who has come in with the specific intent of radically changing the bank's culture to be much more interventionist and take a much more aggressive role in stimulating the Japanese economy. This has been their first meeting. They've come out of it today. And I think everybody here has been quite surprised at just how successful he has been in persuading the Bank of Japan to change its mind and to go for very aggressive monetary easing.
Japan's economic troubles are not new. These problems have been around for decades. When you actually talk to people in Tokyo, are they hopeful? Do they believe that things can change, or are they just more resigned to muddle through?
People here are really, I think, a mixture of a little bit cynical because they've heard it all before and hopeful as well that something can change. Prices have been falling, wages have been falling. People are sick and tired of living in a country that just seems to stagnate a little bit more every year. So they are hopeful that this will work, but a lot of people also think, Not sure it can really change.
Okay, we have seen the market reaction, and we'll see how that plays out in the coming days. The BBC's Rupert Wingfield Hayes in Tokyo. Thank you.
Thank you.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in global trading, not so in Japan, though, where shares closed up 2.2% following the news we just talked about with Rupert. Yesterday on Wall Street, the S&P dropped 1%. The Dow lost almost 0.8% to close at 14,550. A new report by InsuranceQuotes.com finds 90% of Americans don't know they can start signing up for insurance through health exchanges in October. The exchanges let people compare and buy insurance, a key part of the president's health care overhaul. Maria Carter looks at why so many are still in the dark.
October is when people can start signing up for health insurance through the exchanges. By the end of the year, they'll have to join a plan to avoid penalties. Laura Adams is with InsuranceQuotes.com, which compares insurance rates for consumers.
So we want to make sure we do what we can to inform consumers and give them the education that they need to make the right decisions.
Many states are just now ramping up publicity efforts. Alan Weil is the executive director at the National Academy for State Health Policy. He's not surprised people aren't aware of health exchanges yet. But he says the trick is getting people to use them once they are open.
In the long run, if a large number of people eligible for participation in the exchange fail to participate, we have a problem on our hands.
He says if healthy people don't sign up, insurance premiums could jump, undermining one of the ACA's goals of making health insurance affordable. In Kansas City, I'm Maria Carter for Marketplace.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
Today, Facebook is expected to roll out a new smartphone running Android with Facebook front and center, of course. All this as CEO Mark Zuckerberg is said to be planning a nonprofit to push immigration and education issues. His first big move of this kind was in 2010 when he gave $100 million to Newark, New Jersey's troubled public school system. Marketplace's Sabri Benashour is there to see what that money's doing.
You know what? First grade, come sit on the road.
Joan Rutherford's first graders at Pishine Elementary School start class by drawing constellations.
Let's see who has control and focus,
girls.
If you're looking for Mark Zuckerberg's money, you're not going to find it in the fancy projector, the computers, or the school supplies in this classroom.
In some ways, it's less tangible, but in many ways,
it's a lot more systemic and a lot longer lasting.
Cami Anderson is superintendent of Newark Public Schools. She says Zuckerberg's money isn't buying things. It's changing how things are done.
The most significant from our standpoint has been the support that he and other philanthropists gave to achieve a breakthrough labor contract with the Newark Teachers Union.
Yes, a labor contract. $50 million helped broker an agreement with the union to accept a new teacher evaluation system and pay based on performance. Kim McLean heads the Foundation for Newark's Future. That's the group in charge of doling out Zuckerberg's money.
One of the things that we firmly believe in order to have a really good educational system, it starts with the teacher in the classroom.
Zuckerberg's gift has also been used to help open several new schools, including charter schools, and to create a centralized system for tracking student progress. Now, this doesn't mean that everyone in Newark is toasting the founder of Facebook.
It's an agenda about which I have serious doubts.
Paul Trachtenberg founded the Institute on Education, Law, and Policy at Rutgers. He disagrees with the new approach.
You know, weaken collective bargaining. It's weaken job security of teachers. It's hold teachers accountable based in significant part on standardized test scores.
But Superintendent Cami Anderson says Newark's underperforming schools need bold ideas.
Private philanthropy can be a critical catalyst to remove systemic barriers that the system, frankly, isn't set up to move because, in essence, the system is the problem at times.
So let's see who
what these changes will mean for the first graders in Miss Rutherford's class? Well, like any investment, the returns aren't instant. In Newark, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
And finally, a new government survey finds a big jump in unmarried couples living together. About half of couples are cohabiting, or what especially judgy parents call living in sin. That's up from only a third in the mid-90s. Around 40% of couples living together get married within 3 years. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.